In the meantime, I really encourage everyone out there to go to truthout.org and read Kevin's article, Obamacare, the Biggest Insurance Scam in History. It is profound and fascinating, and it will certainly get your hackles up. Kevin Zies.
I urge people to get active. Please visit our website, popularresistance.org. Popularresistance.org, because there's so many issues that are important people get involved in. And at Popular Resistance, you can do that really easy and see that the movement is actually quite vibrant, challenging the corporate powers in this country.
Kevin Zies, thank you so very much for joining us today. I hope you have good success in the future.
Thank you.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946. With service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212 in Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net. Now, Right to Survive.
Jay's Play.
Play 45 RPM records all
day.
Tune into KBOO on November 16th from noon to midnight
for a special 45th anniversary celebration.
DJs will play 15-minute sets of 45 RPM records.
While from noon to 8 p.m., we'll have an open house birthday party at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue with refreshments,
birthday cake, station tours, and more.
So join us November 16th
in person at KBOO from noon to 8 p.m. and on air from noon to midnight
to celebrate our 45th year of serving the musical, political, and cultural needs of the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world.
For more information, go to kboo.fm/45rpm2013.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help co-sponsor the Triangle production of American Fiesta, starring Gary Wayne Cash, a witty, hopeful tale of imperfection and acceptance. American Fiesta will take place at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. This Triangle production will run from November 29th through December 22nd. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, I'm Joanne Hardesty. Join me on November 14th for a stimulating conversation on Voices from the Edge. I will be interviewing John Nichols and Robert McChesney, co-authors of Dollarocracy, a new book on how the money and media election complex is destroying America. Join us from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on November 14th on Voices from the Edge.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
This show on Right to Survive is called On the Edge, and I'll be your host. I'm Lisa Fay. On the Edge refers to the hundreds of people that are houseless, existing along expressways, under overpasses, behind buildings, and in alleys. These are just some of the places used for sleeping and for safety in small numbers. As the population of houseless continues to grow, these small cluster campsites also continue to grow and sprawl. The need for a place to lay one's head to rest, combined with nowhere to go, has made campsites more visible. Visibility attracts people and police. Police soon come and post signs to vacate, others rousting people in their sleep to force them to move, often scattering people's possessions and throwing them away. This is called sweeping. Sweeps push the vulnerable farther and further into the outskirts, away from resources such as food, clothing, and hygiene, taking away one's ability to find work, manage health care issues, and all sense of security or stability, thus creating impossible scenarios to structure and rebuild one's life. Here are some of the people whose lives are being affected in this barbaric and inhumane manner called sweeping.
To be the bad man, to be the sad man, behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my
conscience. This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. And today I'm in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero in a houseless community. And the topic of our show is Push to the Edge. And I'm in a campsite or a dwelling right on the North Expressway, right off the side of MLK. And I'm here with
Bruce.
Bruce, how long have you been houseless?
Oh, about 8 weeks.
Okay. And are you originally from Portland?
No, I'm not. I'm from California.
Okay, and you came here from California?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you become, how did you become houseless, if you want to share that with us?
We just left there with a few dollars in our pocket and come up here to just look for work and just haven't had any work luck because of my lack of an ID, which I'm working on right now.
Okay, and you here with your partner?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, and do you all stay in shelters or out in dwellings
out
like that?
Yeah, we're out on the street.
Why you don't stay in shelters?
Because they separate us.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they separate us, so we decide not to. You know, hopefully it'll be a few more weeks we'll be working, I'm not sure.
Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM in the houseless community. And here I'm in Belmont and Southeast MLK. And I'm here with
Daddy Yangto.
Okay. And how long you been houseless?
I come from Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's where I'm born.
And is it hard here in Portland, Oregon to...
Portland, Oregon, I have like 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
Right here in Portland.
Yeah. And so how do the police treat you living on the street?
The police come over here and nobody want to see here.
Yeah.
Because he come over here and he like, you have a beer. He come over here and, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But I live in the street, so.
So how often do they tell you to pick up and move your stuff?
Oh, we have to go like somewhere because we gotta move to play. But
so what do you think if they would have spaces like this where you can come put your tent up and you can stay? Would you like? You think they should have places like that?
No.
Okay. What about being on the inside?
I mean. We're gonna be to any place. I don't want to see the place because this beautiful place and it's not complain. So.
Right. So they let you stay here long as you keep it
clean. That'll work.
That'll work. Okay.
All right, we're on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you much.
Oh, they're disapproving. Keep them doggies moving right. Don't try. Just rope, throw, and brand. Soon we'll be living high and wide. My heart's calculating, my true love will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of my ride. Move em on, hit em up, hit em up. Move em on, hit em up, raw high.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM, and we're in Portland, Oregon on Ground Zero in a Houseless Community. And the topics of our show is being pushed to the edge. And I'm under the Belmont Bridge on Southeast and MLK, and I'm here with
Monica Hussle.
Lil Hopper.
Okay. Now, how long have you all been houseless?
Almost 6 months.
About that.
Okay. Have you been staying, and you are a couple, and I know it's hard to find shelters for couples, so where have you all been staying?
On the streets, just on under bridges and under
van houses.
Yeah.
Anywhere where you can lay down there.
Yeah.
So I noticed that more and more campsites like this is being put up, but it's being like away from the downtown area. How do that make you feel when all the social services and stuff is downtown and they not allowing you to sleep close to them so you can utilize them?
It's very hard. And you have to have permits to park over in Southeast now.
Yeah.
So it's making it either further out. So, you know, and you know, we have the money to get inside, but nobody will rent to us because of my criminal history. And even though I got ready to rent behind me, it's just nobody will give me a chance. And 6 months I've been looking, and we're looking for a house, a three-bedroom house. So if anybody has a three-bedroom house that we can rent, we have the money.
Okay. And what about you?
You know, it is what it is. However tough it is, you gotta tough it through, you know? So keep my head up.
So why do you think the police is pushing everybody from the downtown area?
Just so we're not utilizing all the resources, probably. Or I don't know why. I'm not... Maybe because we're sloppy and we're making a mess where they say, because there's a lot of homeless people that don't clean up after themselves. That gives a lot of other homeless people a bad name. So
what if you can legalize places like this where you can have, you know, land where you can go put up tents and stay and keep it clean, where they have showers and porta potties and stuff like that?
Oh, I would love it. That would be awesome.
Do you think that'll work?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I do.
So, what would you like to tell the city officials on how to handle the houseless situation?
Just keep trying, man.
Yeah, don't judge everybody by how they look. Just, you know, talk to us and find out who we are, not what they think we are.
Okay. And how often do the police sweep these places?
Oh, man, we've gotten stopped 3 times the last 4 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, so it's getting that bad out here.
Yeah.
We need to group together and fight together.
Yeah.
All right, thank you much.
Yeah, thank you, Abraham.
Okay.
It's a one in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. And in today's segment, we're in Portland, Oregon, in Ground Zero in a houseless community. Our topic is being pushed to the edge. And I'm under the Belmont Bridge right now, southeast on MLK and Belmont. And I'm here with
Jose.
Okay. Jose, how long have you been houseless?
2 years.
Have it all been here in Portland?
No.
No, okay. You've been traveling around for 2 years?
Well, I'm from Texas.
Okay. And how's the houseless community there?
They're pretty good, you know, but I always work, you know. I always have my own place, you know, until I come over here, you know.
Yeah. And then is it hard to find work here?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I used to work for this company, you know, but, you know, they run out of job, you know, so I end up over here in the streets.
Okay. You stay in the streets. Why don't you utilize the shelters?
Well, I go down there once in a while, you know, but not all the time, you know. I don't know, you know, like, it's going to get colder, you know. We got to find some place to stay, you know.
Yeah. So would you rather sleep outside in tents than go in shelters?
Well, not really, you know, because over here in the streets, you know, it's hard to live. You know, but when you're in a shelter, you know, it's warm over there, you know, and all that, you know.
What about a tent city or something where people, you can fix up the tents and stay as warm as you want?
Well, like I say, you know, I never been a homeless, you know,
right.
Until now. I'm, you know, how they are, you know, there or whatever, you know.
Okay.
So I have to find out, you know, about that. Because I was, you know, like I say, you know, this is my first time over here, you know.
And since you've been homeless, have the police been harassing you or asking you?
Yeah.
How many times a day or a week they actually?
Well, that comes like once a week, and then the chief comes by, you know, but he just come over here to pick up the trash, you know, and all that to make the area clean. You know.
So, I noticed that each time that it's a group of people that set up. They pushing you farther and farther away from the downtown area.
Yeah, because when I come over here, you know, there was a lot of people, you know, staying over there in the city, you know, and, you know, after that, you know, they start to push us out.
Right.
You know, now they end up over here, you know, because we only were 4 people over here, you know, and now, you know, it's a lot of them, you know.
So why do you think they pushing people south towards this
country? I don't know. I guess they just want to clean up the city, you know.
But
you know,
I can,
people,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but it's houseless people everywhere. How can you clean this up?
Yeah, I know, you know, but you know how the, you know, the city is, you know.
Yeah.
They gotta run you out, you know, because it looks bad.
Yeah.
For real, you know, because some people, you know, like me, you know, we have, you know, a few tents in there, you know, and all day, you know. And I mean, it's not against anybody, you know, or anything,
right.
You know, but it does look bad.
Yeah. What if you keep the area clean? Would they bother you still?
Well, no, they don't, you know. When they come over here, you know, they never bother us, you know. Except, you know, if you're cops, you know, a cop come or, you know. If you're doing something wrong, like drink, you know, and this
right.
stuff, you know.
Right.
I mean, then
of course,
you get kicked out,
course.
You know.
Yeah.
They're going to run you farther and farther, you know.
Farther,
yeah.
So, but all the social services is downtown. What do they expect you to do?
I don't know for sure. You know,
that's where you go eat downtown. That's where you go get your food stamps and stuff. And pretty soon you're going to be far away.
Well,
so.
I never take food stamps, you know.
Yeah.
I'm against it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I know people need it sometimes, you know, but some people, you know, they don't.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I'm used to work, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I go to the MLK over here, you know, to the trials.
Yeah.
You know, to get a job, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's why it's a lot of, you know, people, you know, Spanish people over there,
yeah.
You know, they try to get a job, you know. A lot of people, they don't take food stamps or anything like this.
Yeah, because they'd rather get work than have to work.
Yeah. Because,
okay.
You know, I mean, you know, if you're going to get food stamps, you know, it's for someone that really need them, you know.
Yeah. So what do you think the city should do about the houseless people living in the streets? Do you think they should designate a spot where they can go put tents up?
Well, the way I think, you know, this is my point, you know, I mean, everybody think different, you know.
Right.
They can find a place, I think, you know, for the, you know, where they can live, you know, have, you know, like restrooms and everything, you know, showers, you know, and everything, so they can stay there, you know, and people can be clean, you know. I think it's the only way, you know, you clean up the city, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be worse.
Right. Have you ever been to Right to Dream too?
No.
No, it's down on 4th and Northwest Burnside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they sleep in tents there, right there in the middle of the city, downtown.
Oh, yeah, there. Yeah. You're talking about the under the bridge, right?
No, on right, you know, when you go into Chinatown?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they see those different colored doors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard of it. No, I, well, I've been through there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, walking through, you know, and I see, you know, there's a lot of things over there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how they work over there, you know.
Yeah, you can go over there downtown. So yeah. Next time you out, maybe tomorrow, go and see what it's like. And there's people living in tents over
there.
Okay,
I try to, you know.
And then they help you find work also.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That would be cool, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like I say, you know, we're right at work.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
Welcome.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And we're in Portland, Oregon, in a houseless community on the outskirts of the city. And we're finding little encampment sites, and we call it Push to the Edge. And I'm here with
Bam Bam.
Okay. How long have you been houseless?
15 years.
All in Portland?
All in Portland.
Okay. And what have, what improvements have you seen in the houseless community?
Oh, a bunch. Now you got the Bud Clark, you got R2-D2, you got lots of them. Uh-huh. Portland's got a lot of housing options.
Yeah. Okay. But the people who can't make it inside the shelters and stuff, they sleep out in tents like this.
Yep.
Right?
Okay. Correct.
And so I know you was part of our first wave of people when we tried to put people in houses, and that didn't work out well. So you helped initiate that.
Yeah, I pretty much helped initiate that. I was the first one, and it worked out for a minute.
Yeah, okay. But for people who can't make it in the shelters because they don't have couple shelters, they stay in dwellings like this. And is this good for them?
Sometimes, sometimes not.
And so these dwellings are being swept constantly. How often are they being swept?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day we get hassled by the cops. Every day.
And they're pushing you farther and farther away from the downtown area.
I've been moved by the same cop 3 times in a day. And it's every day we get hassled. Or we get posted, which we're posted now. We have to leave on the 14th.
Wow. So where are you supposed to go?
To the next place we can find. I mean, to the next curb.
So don't you find it ironic that they're pushing you farther away from the social services, from downtown, from the food stamp, from TPI, from Central City Concern?
No, they've been doing the same thing for years. And some of us are relentless. We won't go. You know, we keep getting hassled. We keep getting tickets. We keep going to jail.
So how do that make you feel that, you know, you trying your best to survive on the street until you get productive, and they won't let you do that?
It makes me angry. All I want to do is just live and live my life, you know, and I can't because I got to move 24/7. I got to worry about all my stuff being taken, thrown in a dumpster somewhere where I can't go get it back. I mean, it's a hassle.
Uh-huh. And when your stuff get thrown in a dumpster, they ask you to have ID to look for your stuff, but then how can they prove that's your stuff?
They can't. They can't. I mean, you go there and you go, where's my stuff? Oh. Well, you said you labeled it. Well, we forgot.
Yeah, so they losing your stuff automatically.
So
is it anything you think that we can do to bring awareness that people are being swept to the edge of town and losing all their possessions?
I don't know. To educate people is kind of hard. Some people don't want to listen. I mean, I don't know what to do. Housing would be great. I mean, I'd love to go inside, but that's not going to work for me.
So in the meantime, how do you think we can address this problem? What do you think should happen?
I have no idea. I mean, it's above me. I mean, it's more politics than I can get involved in. I mean, I get involved as much as I can, but politics is not my end.
Okay. All right. Any last words you would like to say to anybody? Thank you, bro.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange. When you're strange, when you're
this
strange.
Is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And we're in a houseless community in Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon. And the topic of our show is Push to the Edge. And I'm here today with
Jason Barber, a.k.a. Red.
Yeah. Hey, Red, I call you Red, okay?
Yeah.
How long have you been houseless?
Probably about a total of 3 years now since the divorce.
Okay, and you've been going from place to place. I mean, how have you been surviving? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Some of the time I was squatting in abandoned properties. Other of the time I was actually working a little bit through the summer, so I was able to get into a place to stay. But then you find being not great standings with the state, you know, you are at the ploy of what we call slumlords. So you pay your rent on the 3rd, and on the 7th you're being evicted. So you find yourself at the turn of, you know, whoever it may be you pay your rent to. Sometimes as a sublet, you're not on the lease, so you have no legal standings to stand up for.
So in this go-round, you've been on the sidewalk, on the streets for how long?
Probably since about July of this last year. I've been down in front of City Hall trying to stand up for ourselves in the aspect that there is no help for us in that aspect. They just want us to go away. They figure they can sweep us under a bridge, and then they chase us out from under the bridge to, you know, now I'm on the sidewalk in front of what, not City Hall, but Old Town Chinatown, and then you're at the mercy of the clean and safe crew, you know.
And in doing that, why do you think they sweeping the houseless people to the edge of the city?
Because there they figure if we're not on the front page of or the front site foresight, they don't have to deal with us. You don't have to look at us. You won't have to deal with us.
But then again, if they sweeping you from the downtown area into the outskirts, there's no social services out there.
Right, there's no help. In the inner city, we get food, the Mission, whatnot, Union Gospel. There are several places, Sisters, Blanche House. Everybody feeds, you know, in the downtown. We try to keep it a family community. And then as a family, they try to break us apart.
How effective can you be being on the outskirts away from the social services?
You're kind of like the hand that, or how do I say, the closed mouth that doesn't get fed. You know, if there is no way to feed, they find us, you know, dumpster diving and doing whatever we can to get food. And then you find that, you know, everything you do compile that you call your stuff, somebody deems it, abandoned property, and they can pick it up and throw it away.
Okay, so what you're saying that if you're away from service, social service, it's hard for you to get productive again.
Right. It takes something to get nothing, but if you have nothing, you still can't get something, which is kind of a hard way of looking at it. But if you're not a part of the social services, there's no help. There's no showers, you know. You get away from downtown, you get away from the services. But yet, even to be a part of the services, they don't want us downtown. So
that's all. It's like, I'm gonna say, darn if you do and darn if you don't, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then, like I was saying before, you find yourself at the mercy of the clean and safe crew.
So can you tell us what happened to you just today, you know, while you was trying to become productive?
I left my belongings, which would be a bicycle trailer, probably 4 or 5 duffel bags of clothes and everything I own, all in a nice pile, with somebody who I thought was going to stay by my stuff the whole time. And I ran up to what would be Pioneer Square from 3rd and Davis. Once I got there, a buddy of mine says, "Hey, we just passed your stuff and they were loading it in the truck." And I said, "What?" So I raced back down, and when I got there, yes, my belongings were gone. So I went to Clean and Safe, asked them what I could do about getting my stuff back, and they told me that due to the fact that the truck had already been full, my stuff had been hauled to the landfill, which I find out the landfill is technically about 3 blocks up from R2-D2, and it just is a construction container that they empty the truck into. So I asked the driver, I said, "Hey, can I get my stuff back from him?" And he informs me, no, my stuff had been thrown in a dumpster, and once it's in the dumpster, it's nobody can get to it. That's his job if he lets me at it. And I says, "Oh, well, what about my medication?" And he says, "Well, there was no medication." I says, "Yeah, there was. It was in my pack." He says, "No, I went through everything. There was no medication in it." And I'm like, "Oh, so you went through everything?" He's like, "Well, yeah, I sort it when I throw it away." So my belongings become somebody else's job to just pick and go through.
Right. So, I mean, that's a story within itself. I mean, they taking people's prescribed medication that need, and so when you acting all weird or not comprehensive to your surroundings, they want to label you a troublemaker or you on drugs, whatever, and they constantly throwing your personal stuff away and can't get it.
Right. I've had Clean and Safe has confiscated my stuff in the last month twice. Where I've started over, got a whole new trailer, a new backpack, and more belongings, just to find, like today, they threw it all away. And I tried to go to the mayor's office and ask what can be done about it, and they inform me that it's their belief that everything has to be held for a 30-day period so that you can claim whatever. But that's not the Clean and Safe directive. The Clean and Safe directive is we throw it away.
So what you're saying that the police and the mayor have a different direction than the people who really clean up the street have their own. So it's a confusion to the houseless community.
Right, yeah. They tell us, well, you have the right to have your stuff so far, but yet if it's unattended, then it's trash. Now, it was my understanding, like a bicycle that is left abandoned on a bicycle rack, they mark it, they label it, they put a sticker on it, and then if it's not retrieved in so many days, they mark it abandoned property and it goes to the state and they house it for 30 days and give anybody a chance to claim it. Well, what's the difference between my belongings on a corner or my belongings on a bike rack? They're still my belongings.
Right. And this goes to what the people at Right to Survive been trying to tell the public, that it's hard for houseless people to look for work if they have nowhere to put their belongings. Because how can you go look for work with all your sentimental values, everything you own, and you take it in to a job interview and they look at you? But then you can't leave it because the city will get it and throw it away.
Yeah, we call it like the Watch Brigade. You'll find 3 or 4 guys that all get together. We find one shopping cart, we put all our stuff on it, then we rotate. 2 will go eat while 1 sits with the cart, and then 1 will come back and break the guy who's sitting with the cart, and then he'll go eat. And if it wasn't for that, they probably would have took my stuff a lot more.
So do you think this action that the city is doing, sweeping people to the edge of the city where they can't find no rest, where they can't find no help from the social service agency, is pushing you to the edge or something?
Yeah, I found myself today telling the officer, "Well, I just feel like I want you to take me to jail." And he said, "What?" I said, "Take me to jail. At least in jail, I got 3 hots and a cot." And he's like, "Well, you know, we don't necessarily have to feed you."
Oh, they have to feed you.
And I'm like, "Well, no, really, I have nothing left. You done threw everything I own away."
Yeah.
And then they tell me, "Okay, well, don't sleep here." Well, if I can't sleep here and I can't be here, where can I go and what can I do? You find yourself loitering in the parks, and then you have the rangers who come and tell you you can't be here because you're camping because you have one blanket out and you decided to cover up. You find yourself excluded from the park for 90 days because of a camping. When an officer pulls up and says, well, you're camping. You got two blankets on your legs. You weren't even sleeping, which is what happened to me. Last week, I was excluded from Waterfront for the same very reason.
It's cold out. So
yeah,
you can't cover
is no blankets. You know, he says, well, if you didn't have so much stuff. So a week later, they take all my stuff. That's really how I laugh at it today.
So now maybe you can go tell them where I'm legit now. I can stay here in this park because I don't have my stuff.
That's right. And, you know, and I find myself at the mission asking for help, you know. And, but bless the mission, they're able to give me blankets for tonight. And R2-D2 is going to allow me to stay. I'm going to be warm tonight. But if it wasn't for this family in the community, I don't know what I'd have done earlier today, because I found myself walking around just mad at the community itself, to where all I wanted to do was throw mocktail cocktails at City Hall, which is not the way to be.
It's not the way to be, but let's speak figuratively and legitimately, you know, literally and figuratively.
Right.
People are being pushed to the edge both ways. They being driven out Portland, but then they getting angry and they feel like they being pushed where they had to react in a violent manner. Like you just said, you feel you had to throw Montel bombs at City Hall because they messing with you. You're a peaceful guy. You want peace. You want to be doing good, and they want to allow this. Is this happening to a lot of people?
Yes, it is. We call her Looney Tunes, one of the older ladies around, that she screams and yells and rants and raves and screams at the clean and safe people and the street patrol officers. And now she's making sense, you know. And that's really the part that just boggles my mind. You know, she screams obscenities at them and tells them, you know, you took my this, you took my that. And yet she has nothing but, you know, the crazy miscellaneous things that she has, but now I understand where she's coming from.
Yeah.
I've been that same guy standing on the corner at Clean and Safe Office going, well, you just threw my stuff away. There's a whole life of my stuff and it's in a trash can because you said so.
Right. Because you throwing my stuff, and when I cry out to the public who live on the inside saying, oh, they just crazy, or they on drugs, or that's how homeless people act, but they don't know why.
That's right. It comes with a little bit of understanding. If, like you put it best at City Hall, if I can get the mayor to take my place for 24 hours, the outlook of being homeless would change.
Yeah. So what do you think more encampments, more rest areas like Right to Dream 2 over the city, do you think that would help solve the problems of people sleeping on the sidewalk, people keeping their belongings and trying to get productive?
Yes, I do. I mean, I've heard it from I don't know how many people. If I had a place to go where I could store my stuff, or even a place that I could even, let's say, at $1 a day to store my shopping cart of life. I don't know anybody that wouldn't panhandle that. You know, they make $5 a day to get food. You know, I would have no problem trying to start a movement that would be all about the safeness of having somewhere to put it. 'Cause if you didn't have somewhere to put it, then all this on the street wouldn't be there. And that's the part that we just can't get them to understand, is if you told me where to go, I would go.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. I mean, I would, you know, I stand in, out of three quarters of the day, I stand it in a line.
Right.
Whether it's to get food or a shower or even at sometimes to do laundry, because some of the facilities around here, you know, at $1.50 a load, that's not bad. So you save up your week's dirty clothes and you go do one load of laundry. But that's available. If it wasn't available, I don't know what I'd do. And now I'm at that point now to where I've been to the mayor's office, I've been to the clean and safe office. The only thing I can do is try to voice my opinion that this is not fair. Just because I'm homeless doesn't mean my belongings are trash.
And that don't mean they should put you out of reach from social service where you can be more productive.
Right.
Or try to be productive.
Even in that aspect, you know, I've never asked for charity in the aspect of going to, say, Father John or any one of them and saying, hey, if you could pay my rent. I know several people that get, you know, grants for $1,200 that pays 2 to 3 months of rent. I have no problem trying to get a job to make that money. And I would be able to do so if I could keep clothes long enough to wear them to a job interview.
Right. Or they stop sweeping the campsites.
Yeah, well, then they figure, well, and their excuses for sweeping the campsites is the violence that's going on. Well, the violence is going on because you keep taking our stuff.
So they inadvertently making it happen. They keep going on so people can say, look how they looking. But as you said earlier, they don't know why you acting that way. They don't know why you crying out. You saying, hey, you took all my belongings. You took my medicine. I'm going to freak out in a minute because I need my medicine to calm down. But a normal person looking at you don't understand that.
So no, all they see is the, as we call her, the Looney Tune ranting and raving. But sometimes there's, you know, how do we say, the Looney Tune, if you were to actually watch the whole program, you know, Elmer Fudd's got a little bit more going for him than just that's all.
So maybe we can like do something to have more rest there, like Right to Dream too, where people can come stay and leave their stuff and go look productive. So we need to voice our opinion on that. So is anything you want to tell the listening audience that's going to be hearing this?
Yeah, hope I'm actually going to start. I am an activist. I've been an activist for a while now, as people have found out. I was a part of the end of Occupy, and now I'm a part of UCARE and the Right to Dream. I used to say, as a medical card holder, you know, put down the joint, step away from the bong, let your voice be heard. Well, at this point, I don't have a joint. I don't have a bong. I just want to be heard.
Thank you, Mom.
So show me, family, all the blood that I will bleed. I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I went wrong. But I can write a song. I belong with you. You belong with me. You're my sweetheart. I belong with you. You belong with me. You're my sweetheart.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak. Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in Portland, Oregon, in Ground Zero in a houseless community. And the topic of the show today is Push to the Edge. And I'm here with
Robert Adams.
Robert Adams. How long have you been houseless, Robert?
Off and on for about 25 years.
And have it all been in Portland, Oregon, Utah,
Texas, and a little California, and a little bit of here, you know, mainly the last couple of years here. So.
Okay, can you tell us, since you've been in three different states, the differences in the houseless community in the states? Is there a difference?
Well, yeah, there is. I lived out in Texas, and the homeless community there aren't pushed around as far as always having to get up and get out of a spot because they've been told they're not supposed to be there. And I've seen Portland been more of a more pushing than anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, even I've seen San Diego where they even allow them to put tents up on the sidewalk. So, Portland, I think, pushes a little more than they should, you know, and I wish they wouldn't.
Why you think, I mean, they don't push in Texas and push people, homeless people around from place to place in Texas?
Well, I think that they've come to realize that there's just, it really doesn't do any good. It's not going to change the idea. Whether they're on 6th Street here or 15th Street there, they're still homeless, you know, and it doesn't do any good, and it doesn't give them any kind of stability either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know that at the end of the day that you're going to have a place to sleep and no one's bothering you, you can be more productive during the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're pushed around, you have to spend your day wondering where you're going that night.
Yeah.
You know, and so that makes, I think that makes it harder on people who are on the street.
Okay. So here, you said they push you around a lot. Do you know the reason for that, or what do you think they do it here in Portland?
You know, I know Portland's a little bit of a tourist type city, mm-hmm. and they don't want the tourist to see their underlying problem of the homeless people. You know, so you know, oh, you can't be here because when the public come around, then you're inside of them. You know, and I don't think they like that. You know, my main thing is I see they have a nice warm place to sleep and plenty of food in the refrigerator and pantry, and so why worry about the guy who's out on the street?
Right.
And most people are only, and don't know it, they're only one or two paychecks away from being homeless themselves.
Exactly.
You know.
So what do you think, is the city officials or the tourist association is perpetrating what society here in Portland is by trying to sweep reality away from the public eye so they can say, oh, Portland is a bright new upcoming city, let's invest.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. The city officials, they, you know, they don't want Portland as to be seen having any kind of a problem. And really and honestly, it's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if the city would be willing to step up and actually help out a little bit more, provide places that people can go. They could actually take the people out of the view, like they're wanting, and be helpful at the same time. You know, we have so many buildings in this city that are sitting there empty. Mm-hmm. Just nothing in them, nobody's doing anything with them. Maybe it's not a permanent solution. Maybe they can only use the building for 6 months to a year. But yet, you help out a lot of people by doing so, you know? Or maybe you have a couple empty lots somewhere that no one's using, right? Mm-hmm. Well, okay, there are locations that are not right within the downtown area. Well, okay, let them use the area. And the people, if you give them just the right enough incentive, they will monitor themselves.
Yeah.
They will keep the place clean. They will keep the trouble down. And that's the other part. When you push people, it just causes them to want to cause more trouble.
Yeah.
Because it's like a rebellious thing where, you know, but they want what they need. And it's not, they're not asking for what they just want. Wants are a different story. Need is something everybody has to have.
Yeah.
You know?
But Robert, you know, to see that it's an academic here in this country. The houseless community is constantly growing. You're seeing families, you're seeing children, you're seeing runaways, you're seeing people, both male and female, running from domestic violence. You're seeing people getting out of jail from committing, doing something wrong that's not allowed to be productive. So when people are setting up these small areas, let's call them campsites for the sake of argument, the sleep, and it's on a, you know, like under a bridge or on vacant land, why are they constantly being harassed if they're not on a sidewalk or in front of somebody's house?
Well, I try to keep a good picture of everybody, but a little bit I have to admit is caused by the people.
Yeah.
But it has to do with I think the rebellious streak that comes along with it, knowing that they're going to get pushed sooner or later. Mm-hmm. They end up not caring about where they're at. You know, if they keep the areas clean, you know, I don't think they would be pushed as much. But what happens is they know they're going to get pushed sooner or later, so they stop caring. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, I wish they would. And for those who are hearing this, that are actually out in the, as you refer to, campsites, mm-hmm. You know, if they would, I think they would, they kept their campsites cleaner, straighter, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they'd be able to last a little bit longer. I mean, it's not going to be permanent, but they'd last a little bit longer if they'd be willing to. And then maybe, say, if you have a tent up, break it down at night, at least flat, or break it down during the daytime, at least flat, you know, where it's not as noticeable. Because that's the thing that the city's trying to do is they don't want you to be noticed.
Yeah. You think maybe some of the campsite is not kept apart because people don't have time to set up. I mean, as soon as they get everything down or they tent up and find a place where they can stay, they tired, they sleepy, they hungry. So they stuff, they just leave it and stuff because they know if they unpack it, they gonna, you know, they got to pack it back up and get swept, or they don't want to pack it because it's going to rain and stuff like that. And maybe that's the reason why some of these areas don't look feasible.
Yeah, I would say that that's a lot of it. Because I know that, I always say that a portion mm-hmm. of a person's day is spent trying to find somewhere to get something to eat, mm-hmm. place to get a shower, or mm-hmm. just, I mean, different, even going out trying to find work. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, maybe they, you know, they get tired and they come back to their place and they just toss whatever they have down and go on about trying to get some sleep, because not knowing how much sleep they're actually going to get.
Exactly.
You know, I think at night I probably sleep, by the time I lay down and the time I get up is probably a good 8 hours, but I probably only sleep 4 hours because I lay awake wondering if someone's going to come along and tell me it's time for me to get up and move.
Exactly, and that's in the fear of a lot of houseless people that's sleeping on the sidewalk, that's sleeping in tents or under the bridges. You know, you sleep with one eye open because, like you say, you never know when the police going to come and say you have to move.
Right.
Sometimes that happens to you 3 times a night.
Oh, sure.
And by the time, you know, daytime comes, you grouchy, you irritable. If it's raining, you wet and cold, and you want to sleep. So how does this affect you on trying to be productive when you're constantly worrying about if somebody's going to come wake you up, when you constantly have to look for places to sleep and to eat? How does this affect you in being productive?
Well, you can't be as productive as you might want to because you're too tired.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to find a job? And how are you going to actually go out and even find a job, especially if you're walking, if you're too tired to get from place to place?
Yeah.
You know, or even if you get a job, how are you going to work that 8 hours a job mm-hmm. if you're so tired you can't sit up or stay standing up for that time, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that's what most people don't realize is when a person, and that is a big part of it. You, if you're tired, you can't do nothing when you're tired.
Yeah.
You know, I do volunteer work where I can to help out, and there are a lot of times where I'm just so tired from not getting any sleep.
Yeah.
That, you know, I just want to find a place to lay down and sleep, and you can't even do that during the daytime.
You can't do that.
You know, it's cold out here right now. It's November. And you say, well, you know, I'll go over here to the park and lay down and get a couple hours sleep. But, oh, wait a minute. You can't cover up.
Yeah.
Because covering up is against the law, and you will get a ticket for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So now you just can't get the sleep you need. You know? I mean, it's impossible to get the sleep that a normal person gets.
Yeah.
You know? And I always say that, if you don't mind me saying, I would say if you're going to be a city official, any kind, whether you're a policeman, a lawyer, a mayor, anything, that you should spend some real time out on the street.
Yeah.
Experience what is actually going on. Not play at it. You know? I mean, I'm talking about you don't get your credit cards, you don't get any of that stuff. You got to spend your time doing what everybody else does, which is trying to find somewhere to eat and then trying to find somewhere to actually sleep without pushing your weight around.
Right. So don't you think being pushed
to the outskirts of the city, take more time away from you in looking for work and looking for somewhere to eat. And again, where's your luggage, your sentimental values, all your clothing, your pictures of your families? Where are you going to store that? Why are you looking for work or apartment or somewhere to eat?
Well, you know, first of all, like you say, if you're on the outskirts of the city and you got to try to come in to get services, mm-hmm. whether it's something to eat or what have you, that takes away time from when you could be being productive as finding a job or working.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't work a job if you can't eat too.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no way. But the other part is if you is your belongings, as you say, your valuables. Don't leave them where you're trying to sleep, because I heard recently of a guy who just went to the restroom. When he came back, all his stuff was gone.
Exactly.
That the city picked up. Huh. Not an individual. The city took the guy's stuff. You know, so now here it is, the guy, he's got to worry about, now he's got to take that time to try to replace that stuff he lost.
Huh.
You know, oh man, he lost his sleeping bag, now he's got nothing warm for the night. Now he's got to spend that time trying to find that stuff to replace it. You know, he once again, it all comes down to a push, you know? Yeah. Well, if we take the person's stuff, maybe they'll leave. And we know that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Because now, how can they leave?
Yeah, with nothing.
They got nothing. You know, you're supposed to head down the road and freeze that night? So, you know, my thing is I think they're going to end up pushing, and especially with this cold weather coming on, and pretty soon they're going to push and they're going to find somebody who didn't make it because they got pushed.
Yeah.
You know? But it doesn't matter to them? No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
You know, I really don't. I can say, you know, I say, you go ahead and push, but sooner or later, people are going to have to push back.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope it's in the way that our city politicians are made to look like they're doing something wrong, which they are. Help people a little bit more.
Okay.
Open up some of these buildings or even some of these parking garages would work. You know, give a person, get out of the rain, yeah. out of the wind, you know. The basic thing is stop pushing.
So how close, in your opinion, how close do you think people are ready to start pushing back?
Oh, I think they're real close, because our economics are getting worse every day. I'm looking, I just saw that where the EBT program reduced the amount of money they're giving out, and I hear tell that some of the places that usually help out with rent and utilities are suspending their services because of lack of money, and people are getting tired of getting pushed for no reason. You know, they set out rules, and we try to follow the rules, and by the time we follow the rules, they decide to change them again.
Huh.
You know, I just hear recently there's if you're going to sleep on the sidewalk, you've got to sleep at the curb. But now, yet I've heard of a couple of places where if you sleep at the curb, you're going to get a ticket.
So what do a person do? I thank you, Robert, for being on our show, and I hope you come listen to us today at 5:30.
I sure will try.
Thank you very much.
Right to Survive Radio, and I'm your host, Lisa Fay. I, like you, have been listening to the people living on the edge. These are statements to the difficulty of life when by night one is hiding in the shadows, fearful that the police will sweep, force you awake, possible arrest, and loss of the little bit of possessions you have left. And by day, searching for another place further and further away from services, along with another day lost from looking for work or housing. Mayor Hales, Commander Day, and Chief Reese have all stated publicly their intentions to crack down on the houseless with more frequent sweeps and no real solutions. Tonight, as you hurry home to have dinner, interact with your loved ones, and settle into your warm, dry, safe homes, please take time to reflect on what you've heard this hour and how you would handle having your life reduced to these uncertain, unsecure, and demoralizing extremes. Think of the impact to your mental state, family, friends, and job relations, as well as your health. Then I hope your perspective of houselessness starts to take on a philosophy similar to the military's of no one left behind. Right to Survive Radio airs on KBOO 90.7 FM every second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 7 p.m. Right to Survive can be reached by Facebook or email at r2spdx@gmail.com or through www.wordpress.com. Right to Survive holds biweekly meetings the second and fourth Thursday of each month at Sisters of the Road Cafe, located on the corner of Northwest 6th and Davis. Meetings start at 5 p.m. and go through 7. KBOO is having an open house and birthday party on Saturday from 12 noon to 8 p.m. Come join us and learn how KBOO runs. Enjoy food and music and meeting with some of the great people who are part of